Welcome to Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news and in life through an unapologetically feminist lens. We'll begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a segment called We See You, and end with something hopeful. But how are you doing today, Rin?
I'm fine. I am totes fine. I'm a little sleepy. I am fighting off a cold. You know, all the things you love to hear from your coworkers on Monday morning when you ask about their weekend. I'm just, you know.
Could have used another day.
Could have used another day. Am I right? They're too short weekends. They really are.
But it was relaxing, you know, very relaxing.
Needed it. Wish I had another day, though. You know, but fun. Actually, I did have another day this week. So, could have used another, though.
That's great.
Just finished moving a bunch of shit into my new place with my boyfriend, who says that I too much on the podcast. So, working on it, but not too hard. Gosh, cats. I just did it again. Oh, this is going to plague me. Cats are doing great.
Cats are, that's good.
I've got a couch, and it's really cute. We've got rugs and furniture, and...
I mean, I'm thrilled about your couch update because it means that I can keep your other couch.
You keep my old couch, girl.
It's great.
Winsome, winsome. And my dad's coming to town soon. We'll get dinner.
Yay. We'll hang out with him. Oh, that'll be great.
Pretty much just my only stress is like paying for Christmas presents. Not my only stress, to be real. The world's burning. But
yeah,
my immediate stress is just like, oh, fuck. Lots of things to do. Not a lot of ways to pay for them.
Yeah.
Want to be thoughtful. Also broke.
Hey.
How have you been, Maria?
Aww. I'm, you know, it's all right. My heart hurts a whole lot right now. So I'm just sort of living minute to minute.
Yeah.
Which is shitty and sad and confusing and frustrating and just a whole lot of things that are none of them are positive adjectives, so
no.
Just generally pretty bad. In spite of all that, this is like the moment where I really realize, I mean, I realize it, I think I'm aware of it all the time, mm-hmm. but I just am so grateful for my friendships. Friends and family are just so such a like crucial part of my life, and they give me perspective and sometimes even laughter when I feel like I want to die. And they're just badass. I mean, like, everyone has made time for me this weekend, I feel like. And it's just been nice because I, you know, like Skyping with friends in Spain and people making time just in the middle of, like, you know, having to do finals and Christmas stuff and like just everyone is very busy. But there's like, you know, I just am so just so grateful and feel very lucky, even in the midst of feeling like, ugh, just how will my heart mend? I am very, very happy for, like, just so grateful for my friends because they keep me sane. you keep me sane. Everyone, like, you guys just save me in these times. So that's how I'm doing.
Not to speak for all of your friends, but we love you very much too, and you're very special, and you add so much to my life, and you're the best. And I truly can't picture my adult life without you.
Aww,
you bless it. You make it blossom.
Thank you.
And I wish that you weren't in pain right now. And I hope eventually this will be a rearview mirror picture. But for now, it sucks. And I love you, and you're the best.
Aw, I love you too. And I'm so lucky to have you, and I'm glad that you live right near me.
Yes. Yeah. Less than a 10-minute walk, folks.
It's very convenient. Yes. So, yeah, you know, but there's a lot to keep me busy in the, you know, or at least keep my brain, like, thinking about other things, which is nice. Mm-hmm. For instance, I will get, like, worked up about the Oscars and the host
debacle. What are they going to do? You love the Oscars. You are an Oscar watcher. Oscars watcher.
I know. I just view it,
but you're into it.
I really like those montages.
I know you do. They're nice.
I know. And I know that they're cliche and they pull like at your heartstrings, like at very specific parts.
Whatever. I love to be emotionally manipulated, like when that's my game.
I know.
I watch so much Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, okay, but this is, you know.
This is elevated. I'm so sorry. Show myself out. You know what I mean.
Wow.
When you know you're, like, signing up for just, like, they're very different. Sorry, Academy. Oh, God.
Thanks for putting that out there.
We watched it. We didn't finish it. We stopped watching it. We didn't live together anymore.
Yeah. So that was 2012. So that's respectable.
Yeah, that was, how old are we? Enough time.
But it was, I mean, it was probably like 10 seasons.
We got
deep.
But
it's still on, isn't it? Or it just stopped?
It's either very recently ended or it's gonna end or I don't know. But a lot of people have been killed off.
Yeah. Sandra Oh has moved on to bigger and better things.
She's the best. Yeah. So.
Have you watched Killing Eve yet?
No, I have to.
I have to.
I will. Sorry, facts.
Okay. Well, they should get Hannah Gadsby to host.
Yes. Great segue, Maria.
Pew.
It's as if we were just about to... Wow. I'm into gun control, and you just pulled those out of your sleeves like it was nobody's business. Who even are you?
Oh, my God. I know. It's almost like we're planning on focusing today.
On her. It's not a spur-of-the-moment choice. It's almost as if.
Oh.
We thought about it.
And
we love her.
Yeah.
And we want to do a little chatty chat.
We do.
Yeah.
We want to talk about Hannah Gadsby for a number of reasons. She's been really influential.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. For those who don't know, she's a Tasmanian devil. She's a comedian from Tasmania.
Yes, which is a real place.
Yeah. It's an island. What did she describe it like? I'm not going to do it. Nope. Like off the ass end of Australia is I think what she described it. But she's...
There are worse ends.
So, comedian from, Tasmania. And she's been... successful and internationally renowned for a while.
Yeah.
But she just recently kind of hit the big time in America with her Netflix special, Nanette.
Love Nanette. Y'all have to watch it. We watched it, I guess it was July.
Mm-hmm.
So impactful. She talks about her experiences as a queer woman in various ways and just like... you're not expecting it to be what it is, and at the end you're just like, was I moved spiritually?
Yeah.
It's the thing that inspired me to come out on Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah. And she's just also really funny and smart and a great voice to have in the mix. And if you ain't listening, you should be listening.
It's great. And the only warning, quote unquote, that I would give people is just that it's in the comedy section of Netflix, and it is funny at times, but be prepared for like more than a comedy, which people that I've recommended to Dad kind of wish they had a bit more warning on that. If you're really looking for like a knee slapper, that's really not the vibe that you're going to be getting.
Not a knee slapper. But I feel like any comedy special in today's day and age, you know.
Any good one.
Yeah, has right. A but now it's definitely, there's some weight and some heft to that, which I love. You know, I love, you know, depressing media. But it's uplifting, but it's just, you know.
It's the feels. It hits you in the feels.
Hits you right in the fillers.
And as did this, her opening remarks at the Hollywood Reporter's 2018 Women in Entertainment Gala.
Oh, yes.
So she did sort of a little bit of an opening, like about an 8-minute kind of opening at this breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today is sort of what she focused on, which was taking aim at the good men in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would recommend everyone, just everyone, a billions of listeners must all do as we say. But no, everyone should listen to it. It's less than 10 minutes. It's like 7 or 8, like you just said. And if you just read the transcript, it'll take less time. So essentially, she starts talking about the good men, and she's speaking about men who sort of qualify themselves as good. She refers to them as the Jimmies when referencing late-night talk show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of goes into her frustration about these men drawing the lines for what bad behavior from men is when everyone believes themselves to be good, and also draws an important distinction about talking about the behavior of men in general. And, you know, she references Bill Cosby's and people like that, where you can kind of point to 99% of people, I think, and point to and be like, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then she goes on to talk about the friends of the Jimmies, which is just what it sounds like. When it's your own friends, when it's people in your life, the way you sort of move the line depending on if they, you know, if what's going on in the situation. Is she drunk?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, who is this person to me? You know, what are these dynamics? So she sort of makes all those points and makes a larger point about how men shouldn't be drawing these lines at all, because they're always going to draw it right in front of themselves.
Yeah.
And then I think makes another really important point where you can substitute, you know, men for, you know, you can be talking about people of color, you can be talking about trans people, you can be talking about, you know, many different groups when you, like, replace man with white person, essentially, and see where you come out, where, you know, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Well, I was so happy that she sort of, I'm so happy that she takes these things on.
So nice.
Yeah, so and, nice. Like, there's sort of a bravery to, you know, I would say she's a relatively new, like, quote, like, Hollywood insider or whatever. And I don't think she would call herself that, but she is, like, one of the hottest comedians right now because of Nanette.
Mm-hmm.
And even she sort of, she was making a joke because this is a Women in Hollywood, like, breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, like, basically that she doesn't want to hear men, white men, the Jimmies, make those jokes about quote-unquote creepy men, because their voice is not the one that needs to be heard.
Right.
And she, I kind of, like, she described, she sort of said, like, you know, the Jimmies will talk about, like, why can't some men just stop being creepy? And, like, it's so great. And she was like, you know, men are not creepy. Spiders are creepy. Like, you know, rejecting the humanity of a woman is not creepiness. It is misogyny.
Loved that.
It's so great. And she just, and the nuance of talking about good, you know, the idea of good men or friends of good men who just, like, don't understand the rules or don't understand consent. Or just physical boundaries.
All kinds of things. And it's like, we need allies, yes.
Yes.
So you can understand how this could be very confusing. But it's just, I think there's a sort of narrative where they kind of, the Jimmies, they water it down to be sort of less of a big deal for everyone all around, unless it's this huge thing we've all agreed is awful. You know what I mean? It's like being creepy. It's like, no, there's a dehumanization that happens when you're treated a certain way. It's not just creepiness.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't, like, walk a half mile without being, you know, in fear of your life or your well-being and things like that. It's not, I think they just water it down, distill it, and they make their little jokes, and I think that they do care, but, you know, they're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing it.
Yeah, and we should be able to have this conversation without good men, and mm-hmm. I am putting that in quotes because mm-hmm. I just think it's important, like the distinction, but without good men getting defensive, mm-hmm. it's exhausting to have to go out of your way. And I can imagine this mm-hmm. too with, like, you know, trying to make white people feel better, mm-hmm. you know, when we're feeling uncomfortable.
Oh, we're the worst. We're always uncomfy.
Yeah. And it's like the exhaustion of having to bend over backwards to make sure that the community that's actually kind of inflicting mm-hmm. the pain is put at ease. Cause like, oh, we're mm-hmm. not talking about you, but there's just so much ingrained misogyny, and even mm-hmm. with an internalized misogyny with women.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, a lot of women, I know some women who, like, you know, we all do, who I think downplayed their own experiences, for instance, like growing up or in a professional sphere, and have kind of, and now look at the generation now in this context of the Me Too movement that's making a lot of noise about yeah. what is okay and what isn't, saying, what's the big deal? It happened to me, and I, you know, like, that's just the way men are, you know, or mm-hmm. that's just the way, like, what, you know, basically just trying to kind of blur everything together and just say, like, what do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we expect men to respect women. I mean, and
what?
Like, there's got to be a higher standard. And the more we talk about it, I think the easier it will become, the more natural it will become for men to just think about, oh, should I actually, and this could be, it could even be banal things. Like, mm-hmm. should I touch, like, my coworker on the back to get her attention mm-hmm. or something? And it's sort of like, just maybe no. I mean, and I'm sure you don't mean anything by it. I'm not trying to sort of attribute malintent in every situation, but it's sort of like, it's what you learn when you're little. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And then there's this sort of backlash too of men, like, I can't be alone with a woman in a professional setting. Because what if you're afraid of that, look at your life and look at your choices.
Yeah.
Because that hinders women from getting ahead for many reasons. You know, generally, people in the positions of power in this day and age are men, white men. And if you're unable to meet with them in a workplace setting one-on-one to exchange ideas, that puts you sort of behind. And mm-hmm. so that's one little aspect of it, I'd say. And yet, just be a fucking person. Like, this, pretend she's your bro. There's this really funny thing I saw that was like, pretend your female coworkers are The Rock. Just treat them like you treat The Rock, and you'll
That's
be
great.
Fine. You'll be fine. You know,
that.
It's just this, you don't need to put on there. It's not, it's just, it, I think people think it's so complicated. You don't have to put on these like baby gloves to deal mm-hmm. with women, but you do need to respect what's going on. Power imbalances, being a person, not stomping all over them, while also giving them opportunities to, you know, exist as professionals in the workplace. Just respect.
Like, respect.
Just take your dicks out of it.
And even just, like, and I think we talked about this in an earlier podcast a little. We touched on sort of the power imbalances, but just, like, just to really think about that. Because, you know, when I keep thinking about, I think a good example, when I first moved to Seattle, I was working at this, I was temping at a place. and I really, really liked my boss. And I still think back on him and think that he was a really good guy. And I absolutely don't think he was creepy in any way or trying to, like, breach boundaries at all. And I only worked there for 6 months. It was just like a temp job. But on my last day, when there was, like, he had kindly arranged, like, a little breakfast thing, like, going away. Mm-hmm. And as like, and so I'm just sort of, he's like saying some nice words about me, but he walks over to where I'm standing and like puts his hands on my shoulders and starts massaging my shoulders. And I just, I mean, like I could feel my cheeks turn bright red. I was just mortified. And it was like, why are you doing this? You're ruining, like I had a really kind of pristine idea of you. And I still think, I think it was totally awkward and he wasn't, I didn't, I mean, I felt horrible and objectified in the moment, but I don't think that's what he wanted. He, I don't think that's what he intended, but oh my God, how profoundly uncomfortable. And I just, the, I think that happens to women a lot more than men.
Oh yeah. Like, well, and they're just different. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's just take a beat. You know, just take a beat if you're a dude and you're about to interact with a woman in the workplace. Just, like, think about it for a second.
Yeah.
You know, there's not this huge ask on you. It's just think about it for a second. Think about her space. Think about, would I do this to a male coworker?
Mm-hmm.
Just think it through for a little bit until your habits change, if your habits need changing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and if you think that's too big of an ask, think about all the ways women have had to bend over backwards, make compromises, do everything for forever.
Yeah.
And then just think an extra second, be like, should I give her a rub down at work?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
You know, and then hopefully we get to a place where I hate putting the onus on women to be like, you can and cannot do this, because often you're in a position where you feel like you can't speak up.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope one day we get to a place where you, women are empowered to, you know, sort of say what their boundaries are.
Yeah.
But we can't fully be at that place when we don't have, you know, we're still at risk of losing opportunities and losing, you know, it's not the same where a man oftentimes can speak up, be like, hey, I'm not cool with this. It's like, okay, bro.
Yeah.
Solved it.
Right. You know,
I don't think we're there yet. So I think it does fall to men to be careful without, you know, not giving her, just treat her like a fucking dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't need to make these weird gender distinctions anymore eventually, but as it is now, there are power dynamics and things, and the world is not gender blind.
No, and just think about how little, like, how little effort you, in general, as a man, like, as a man in the workplace, think about how little you actually have to be conscious of how much space you're taking up, what you're saying, how you look, how you present yourself, how you interact with your with people in higher positions of power and lower positions. Like, there's just so much less navigating you have to do mentally and physically, I think. Like, women are making so many more calculations for a variety, like, operating on, it seems like, 5 or 6 different planes at the same time, whereas I think men generally are only operating on one. Like,
right.
And it's not, this is not, like, your fault. We're not, I'm not saying,
boom, men!
Like, you should feel shitty. Just, we're asking you to be conscious of, like, when you are, like, touching people and right. commenting on people's appearances
And who you're listening to.
And who you're, yeah.
And why.
Who you're listening to and why.
Whose ideas you're taking.
Well, that too, but like, who you're excusing. Who are you believing?
Yeah.
And what are you excusing and believing? And why do we keep moving the goalpost on this stuff? Like, first, you know, it's like we don't believe women. And then, oh, there's, you know, if a video surfaces and for some reason that video of, it's some sports human. Punching his girlfriend repeatedly.
Oh, God. Was that the elevator one or different
one? It was actually a different one.
Oh, that's a more recent one.
The more recent one, yeah. But the one where, also forget this guy's name, which I don't hate. But, yeah, the guy that also, like, clocked his girlfriend, she passed out in the elevator, and then he just dragged her out. And then what was his penalty after the video surfaced, was like, I think a 2-game suspension, which I do just have to point out, As a Patriots fan, yeah, I do just have to say Tom Brady got 4 games for Deflategate. Like, so someone got 2 games for punching, for knocking out his girlfriend and dragging her out of an elevator.
Yeah.
Like, can we please just reprioritize?
That'd be great. I mean, domestic violence shit in general in the NFL, I think it's been getting better, but still is awful.
Still bad.
It's
still
like, well, 4 games instead of 2. Like, you smoke a joint, you're out for 10. It's just...
Yeah.
It's interesting how little we value women generally.
Very interesting.
Well, and then like when we can get back, but like when we go on to her further point about sort of putting any marginalized person in the place of a woman, you know, I think that that's a very important lesson too. You know, like we are white women.
Yeah.
And it's like if something instinctually. You know, if you hear something like, oh, I don't see how that's racist. I don't see how that's transphobic. I don't see how that's this, that, or the other thing. And I think a lot of people have the tendency, which we all have at some point, in our blossoming wokeness.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm so sorry, everybody. I tell you, whatever. Like, it's natural human instinct to be defensive because you know where you're coming from, right? But I think that it's really important to understand that you don't understand everything about everyone else's lived experiences. And instead of getting defensive or being afraid because you don't understand, just like listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like listen to what a human being is saying about why something is upsetting or offensive or dehumanizing to them.
Yeah.
Think about it and go from there instead of automatically being like, I'm not racist. I'm not transphobic. I'm not homophobic. I'm not ableist. I'm not this, that, or the other thing. Your behavior may have been.
Yeah.
Your words may have been. That does not mean you're an awful person.
Mm-hmm.
Good people grow from their mistakes and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And all you gotta do is listen and think.
Yeah.
Wow.
And be open to criticism.
Yeah.
Which is really, really hard.
So hard.
Especially when someone's like, you've hurt me. Like,
yeah.
or you've made a hurtful comment about my community, or the implication was hurtful. Anything, basically, where someone's implying that you've hurt them is hard to hear.
Yeah.
But it's how you respond.
You gotta hear it, and you gotta respond in a way that's, you know, it's like, boil it down even more. Like, if someone else is the expert in some field,
mm-hmm.
and, like, maybe you've read a book about it, or you're familiar that the subject exists, like, would you automatically tell them they're wrong when they're talking about it? It's
mm-hmm.
like, no, you'd probably be like, oh, this is an opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
But that's a less personal thing, unless, you know, it's less tied in with who you are and how you are as a person. So I think it's easier to do that then. But just listen.
And understand that, like...
We're all people.
Yeah, I mean, it is not... We do not hate white men. The problem is that a lot of white men, including the good ones and including mm-hmm. our friends and family and all, like,
lovers.
You know, all these people and lovers, you walk through the world and you're a product of your lived experience. Mm-hmm. And if just because you don't see something happening or it's not happening to you directly mm-hmm. doesn't mean it isn't happening to other people.
Yeah.
And if you're not in a position to ever experience it, you're not also in a position to tell people it isn't happening.
Right. And like think for a second about why are you getting so upset about it?
Yeah.
What is triggering this response in you? You know, why can't you just take a beat and think about it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a lifelong journey, my friends. And we're not perfect, but I think that's just where we all need to start.
No.
And I think that that's a step, I honestly think that's a step most people miss. And once you make that first step to kind of be like, I'm going to actively not be defensive and just listen.
Yeah.
The rest comes pretty easily. But if you're hesitant to get that first step, you know, the rest is busted.
Yeah. And you... It would be easier if things were easier. If things were simple and the answers were simple and, you know, you could see the reasons, you know, rampant misogyny and systemic racism in our, you know, mm-hmm. institutions. Mm-hmm. Like, some of these things actually take some time to explain, to describe, to expose. Mm-hmm. And it just... We do not live in an incredibly simple world. And I think thinking about kind of, there have been studies, Hidden Brain did a great like podcast special on this, like the brain chemistry that is different between people who are liberal and conservative mm-hmm. and how like people who are conservative like things to be a lot more clear cut. Mm-hmm. Like, and if it isn't, it's like, it causes issues because you really want, your brain is like mm-hmm. kind of craving things to be, to make a lot of sense in mm-hmm. a very like cut and dry way. And if you're liberal, you're kind of okay living in a world in mm-hmm. which there's a lot of like fluidity and gray area.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe, yeah, it's a great little special mm-hmm. and I kind of feel like now I'm not doing it justice, but
hey girl,
it's a thing to consider.
Well, I also think there was, I don't know if it's the same story, but with the former about sort of the response in the brains generally speaking of those who identify more conservatively, the fear response.
Mm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and when you're afraid, other shit is shutting down and that's what's driving you, and I think fear is the worst motivator.
Mm-hmm. And we fear things we don't know.
Yeah, and so then you put it all together, and then you're afraid, and then all of a sudden all these things are happening, and gosh.
And people are telling you you're fucking up without even mm-hmm. knowing it, and you're based on your gender and race. Ugh, imagine that. You're doing something wrong. And so, yeah, we just encourage people not to just stop when you think that's what you hear. Because yeah. that's not necessarily what you hear. And I would love to hear any of the Jimmys or, mm-hmm. you know, the late night dudes who do talk about misogyny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Colbert called out Les Moonves, the yeah. disgraced head of CBS.
That was appreciated.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Right. And that, I mean, Colbert is just... To confirm, he is on CBS. So yeah. It did seem like a bit of an act of bravery because... Mm-hmm.
It's your own network.
It's your network. Yeah. And John Oliver is king of the late nights. I wouldn't even call him late night because he's
his
beyond.
Own thing. He is... He makes me so proud. I love
he's
him.
He's a delight.
I really want... This is... I won't tangent. But I really want to like Jimmy Fallon... because he wants to be liked so much, and I just...
It's hard.
I don't dislike him, but it's just like, what are you fucking... All right, anyway, moving on.
He unfortunately, I don't know if this is fair or not.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to yeah. pause it. I'll just sneeze if I gotta sneeze.
Okay. I don't know if it's fair, but he... will probably not get out from under his interview with Trump when Trump was a candidate. And, yeah. you know, I'm sorry. That's okay. You really... Yeah. He was just sucking up to Trump. Like, giving, like, being like, can I touch your hair? Oh.
And then just watching him do... Like, I watched this interview he did with John Mulaney, who I love.
Yeah.
And I love John Mulaney to the point where I was like, I'm going to watch this despite it's Jimmy. And I really don't hate him. Like, if...
Yeah, he's just like, he's whatever.
He seems like a nice person, whatever that means, but...
Yeah.
I just... It's like he misses the joke, too, half the time, and he's just always trying to... He just shouldn't be a talk show host.
He does seem super eager to please.
He's so eager to please. I'm like, I get it, girl, but... Yeah. God, at what yeah. cost? All right, anyway.
Like, if his slot was filled by a different...
Maybe a woman.
Maybe
a non-white woman?
Yeah.
Maybe a non-straight sis. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. They should give it to someone like Nicole Byer.
Love her. Which also, just a quick note on identity politics. Fuck that. That's not a thing. There's so many qualified people for things that aren't white, mm-hmm. and it's about finding them, and so, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about, like, oh, let's just find someone who's female or woman of color. Like, but those voices are excluded 99% of the time. Yeah. So maybe it's time we actually just they exist like kind of everywhere. And that's why this stupid Oscars being like, we actually might not have a host this year after the Kevin Hart debacle. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
There are so many people that you could pick. Like, Jesus. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Snurf. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we love Hannah Gatsby.
Yeah.
And everyone should really. She's everything that she says is so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of deep, sadness and anger in mm-hmm. her that is so justified, but she has this amazing way of, like she says in her special, controlling the tension and like being able to convey what she wants to say and then giving the audience that release, that like comedic release. But mm-hmm. she is really amazing.
She is, and I love her, and she has a really cute dog that she posts on Instagram. Mm. And, I think one thing I'm going to take away from it is just think about the lines I set in the world myself, and, you know, where are they coming from, and is it a line if it's me and a straight white cis dude, I draw the line when it comes to many matters.
And we both have had, friends in our circles really, really let us down. And I think, and I guess it's important to think about, and I think this is also a growing thing because with time, there have been various incidents with various people, but you excuse it. Your instinct is to try to make it better, mm-hmm. try to like smooth things over for the sake of the social circle and like comfort. And
so otherwise it's your ass on the line. Even if you did nothing wrong because,
Yeah. I mean, and people will see you as you're going to get blamed. Everything is going to be terrible. So the people who suffer in these situations are women. When the line is drawn mm-hmm. and it doesn't benefit them, and who gets to draw the line, and it's mm-hmm. drawn like... So anyway, but when women are guilty of this too, so against other women, and so it perpetuates the cycle. So I definitely want to make sure that I try to make sure I'm aware of that.
We can all be better in this world.
Be best.
No, but like actually, not like she is. She's not. Gosh. Melania. Should we see some things?
Yeah, let's hop on over. Burr, burr, burr.
Right. Pull it up.
Ba-da-ba-da.
And it's still there. Okay. I guess we can just go back and forth, and we'll start with this one.
Yeah. All
right. This is sad. So on December 9th, a funeral was held for... Hania Aguilar, a 13-year-old girl who was abducted outside her North Carolina home and later found dead. Her father could not attend the funeral because he was denied a visa by the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala City. And according to the lawyer, directly quoted as saying, "To tell you the truth, with past administrations, we never had a problem like this. With this administration, most everything that is discretionary is getting denied." So... we see you.
We see you.
So beyond fucking awful, not being able to bury your daughter because of a garbage xenophobic administration.
Yeah, cool. That's terrible. We see you.
Mm-hmm.
Cyntoia Brown was at the age of 16 being sex trafficked or the victim of sex trafficking by a pimp named Cutthroat. And after days of being raped by different people and drugged, she was purchased by a 43-year-old child predator who took her to his home to use her for sex, obviously. And he showed her his like different guns that he had, and at one point she thought he was reaching for one of his guns, so she took one and killed him, which I think any normal person would think is self-defense. She was arrested and tried and convicted as an adult. She's been sentenced to life in prison. She's required to serve 51 years before release. This is in Tennessee. Tennessee's Supreme Court. There's a law that says, like, first degree murder after 1995, you can only be released after serving 51 years. So this is ridiculous, especially when we look at other cases that are coming out around the same time, like the frat president of his frat at Baylor. What's this fucker's name? I want to say his name because the president of Baylor, of a frat at Baylor, was just issued no jail time. He pleaded guilty to unlawful restraint of a minor. He was accused of drugging and raping a girl at a frat party. All he has to do is undergo counseling and pay a $400 fine. He initially faced years of prison time and having to register for life as a sex offender. He doesn't have to do any of those things. The judge is a straight white man, obvs, and old, and has a record of leniency for these types of crimes against men.
Think of their futures.
So, like, we see you. I mean, the justice system will continue to return to, but just like, hey, Judge Ralph Strother, we see you. And Tennessee Supreme Court, we see you. And hopefully, I'd like to think that it doesn't take such an obvious discrepancy in justice, but hopefully at some point we can overcome this.
Hopefully. All right, Jasmine Headley. So she went to the HRA building because she needed daycare vouchers so she could work as a cleaner. The office was crowded. There were no available chairs. She was there with her one-year-old, so she went and sat on the floor as she waited. Sidebar, I sit on the floor constantly in places. I've never gotten in any trouble for it as a very, very white person. She ended up being arrested because security called the NYPD. There was video of it online. They were attempting to, like, wrestle this one-year-old child out of her hands. At one point, the officers were waving their stun guns to the crowd when they were attempting to intervene. We see you, thirsty security guards and NYPD who are wildly need de-escalation training. Good sidebar at the end of that, the charges against her, which included resisting arrest, trespassing, and acting in a manner injurious to a child, have been dropped. And she has been released. So that's good. But we see you. That should have never fucking happened. It's especially when you consider if someone was there who had some sort of ailment where they needed to sit down. Also, we have a kid. Like, just.
Yeah. If you're holding a 1-year-old.
You don't arrest. Yeah.
You would. And you just know that would not happen if it was a white woman.
That would not have happened. That would not have happened. No. Like, it's. No. Again, I use my privilege to sit in public places because I like to sit.
Yeah.
And with no babies, I never got any trouble for it.
No. Well, House Speaker Paul Ryan, guess what? We generally see you. We see you. Like, your legacy is going to be trash. And that is, like, set in stone already. Mm-hmm. You are a spineless coward of the highest order. But the one thing that you have said that you care about, the deficit, there was a great article by Vox that came out that has pointed out that the increase in the deficit from 2015 to 2018, you know, the increase basically from when he became speaker and the year in which he retired, deficit has increased $343 billion. Aww. So you suck at your job and you're a grotesque coward, and history hopefully won't be kind to you. We see you.
We see you. Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Ooh. How exciting.
How very thrilling it always is. So he's so many things. So he's down to shut down the government in the interest of building the fucking wall between the U.S.-Mexico border. He even said, I am proud to shut down the government for border security.
Good.
And then later that day, he said, I don't mind owning that issue. We're closing it down for border security, and I think I win that every single time. I mean, he's not playing into partisan politics there. He's taking responsibility for shutting the government down if it were to come to that. But cute little thing, Pelosi. So when him and Pelosi got into, like, you can watch it. They got into a whole thing.
And you should watch it. You should. It's fun.
She said, I can't explain it to you. It was so wild. It goes to show you. You get into a tinkle contest with a skunk, you get tinkle all over you. True, true, true. And just a quick reminder, the wall is fucking stupid. I've said it before. It's like 2,000 miles that it would have to cover. A lot of it's covered by water and or private property that the government would have to buy out with permission from the landowners, which is not... It's not... It's stupid. There are a lot of reasons it's fucking stupid. We did a whole episode on how fucking stupid it is. We see you, Donald Trump. You're fucking stupid. You're reckless. Get out of here.
We see you. Oh, my God. And I do just have to, an addendum. Nancy Pelosi, apparently right after the meeting, also said of Trump, quote, it's like a manhood thing with him, as if manhood can be associated with him.
Boom.
Ba-boom. Pa-pow. And, yeah, this is sort of a broader thing that at some point maybe we should talk about, but just the fact that, you know, looking at, like, health and how it affects income and poverty and just the interplay there and mental and physical health. Ugh. It's a complicated business, but dollar stores now feed more people than Whole Foods, and they far outnumber even McDonald's and Walmart's, which is kind of a crazy stat.
Yeah.
And they also sort of, like, they cause mom and pop stores to be going out of business at a much higher rate. And they're actually not even that much cheaper because they, like, package things in a smaller, in smaller cases. And the fresh foods, quote unquote, sections include basically usually just, like, milk and some juices and maybe some yogurts. But they really don't, there's no fresh produce or anything. So yeah. This is just another kind of thing to think about when we think about how, what it means to be poor in America and, how honestly, I mean, if you're not getting nutrition in your life, and you don't even have access to it, because if the dollar stores, if there are like 20 dollar stores within 10 miles and the nearest like actual grocery store is like 25 miles away, I mean, and your access to...
And more expensive.
More expensive. It's much more time consuming. So it's just a thing that I saw on Twitter and wanted to just say, like, we see you, and I do want to look into this more and find a more articulate way to talk about the interplay between all these different things, but we see you.
Yes. My last was see you. So back in September of this year, there was a pause on from the Trump administration, a pause on research that uses aborted fetal tissue. And that's starting to have some real impacts on medical research. It's going to affect a ton of biomedical research programs, particularly HIV as well as cancer research. And this would be a whole episode getting into the science of why that's the case. But a lot of studies are just going to be fully shut down because of this. There's been a lot of promising research with fetal tissue, with stem cells, with things like that. And also this aborted fetal tissue, I understand some people are pro-life. I'm pro-choice. This tissue exists. It was not paid for. It is donated by people who are not using it. And the alternative is nothing happens with it. So even if you are pro-life, if this exists and it can help people with cancer and HIV, and numerous other diseases. Like, come on, why? We see you. Can we just science for a minute?
Can
to
we?
To save people's lives if you're caring about, if you're pro-life.
Yeah.
Why?
Ugh.
Yeah, we see you.
We see you. Ugh. But there are some good things. Some good things.
Some good things in the world. Go, Maria.
Well, I'd like the Oscars to take note. Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg are hosting the Golden Globes, so that is a good thing. And how hard is that? How hard is it to just make that decision?
I love them both so much. I'm so excited to see them together.
Me too.
Also, we do not have, I mean, it's getting better, but like we do not have a lot of Asian folks represented.
No, you know? No.
Yay. Also, she's a gem and he's a gem and just like a couple of fucking gems.
Yeah.
You know?
They're great.
Yeah. Do you want to leave it there? Do you want to do a couple good things? How's the time looking, Angel?
Oh, how are we doing on time? We're good. I think the only other good thing. No, there was a lot of, there were some good things. I mean, also we did just talk about, and I guess it was under the We See You, but it's also pretty great. I mean, go watch Nancy Pelosi own the shit out of Donald Trump at this conference.
Please.
And she also, like, there are a lot of other pull quotes. Like, Trump tried to shut her down by being like, Nancy's not really in a position to talk. I understand it's uncomfortable for her. And she was like, please don't disrespect my authority. Like, it was badass. And I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was great. And there's a story about two women who like really gamed the system and were able to pay off like $1 million of hospital bills.
Yeah.
Maybe even more.
Yeah, they're paying, they're paying off people's medical bills just because they're like, fuck this.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Were mine in there? Check some forms.
Maybe it was in there somewhere. Yeah. But good. Hooray for people just like doing good things, you know. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually, just a shout out to, I just thought of this, but a shout out to, there's a store, it's a pop-up store in New York and London, but you can also go online, and this is like something my friend organized, and it's called Choose Love, and they're little cute shops where you can go in and basically buy things for refugees, and then so you're going in buying stuff and then you're coming out with nothing but feeling really good, and they actually got the artist Banksy to donate a piece of work, and so
what?
If you go online, yeah, I mean, that would I bet that thing is probably pretty valuable at this point, like that shredded one.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so check it out, it's really cool, it's called Choose Love, and yeah, that's a good thing for sure.
Yeah, there's some.
So yeah, that's it for us today.
December.
December.
We're into you. It's crazy. Farewell.